Hi, this is Shanda here with Aubrey Mace. She came to visit to show her support for the Valor Publishing big to-do that's here at the Barnes & Noble downtown Salt Lake. And I just wanted to grab Aubrey and talk to her for a few minutes, see what's up, because we're going to see her at LDS Storymakers, and we're also going to be seeing her at the Whitney Awards. So we're pretty excited. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Aubrey for a minute and ask her a few questions. Okay, so Aubrey, what are you currently working on? Because I want to know what you're working on.
You know, I've got two books that I'm working on right now. Do you want me to hold this or do you
want
to hold it?
Come on.
I feel kind of...
Be a little close,
okay, so I've got to be like eating it?
No.
Okay. No, that's all right. No, if we may, I was thinking maybe if we put like a hat out or something, people throw money in it. Except yeah. I'm not going to sing because that would be painful. So
I won't join you either.
No, I'm working on two books right now.
Shut up. Actually.
They might. That might.
Sorry.
That might.
Yeah, I got the giggles.
Okay. Yep, straight face. Okay. Yeah, I'm working on two books right now. I haven't been writing anything really lately because I'm trying to read for the Whitneys and get that finished, and it's not going quite as quickly as I thought it would because, contrary to popular belief, I guess I kind of have a life. I don't know. It's surprising. I'm the first one to be surprised. So anyway, but there's a book that is, it's my NaNoWriMo book from this year. And I've never done it before. Everything I've ever written has been just really, really outlined to death. So this was a really new thing for me. And I wrote a book about pudding, which is why I don't write that way. It's about 3/4 of the way done.
Okay.
I got to know some more details about this pudding. Is it going to be like a culinary mystery type thing, or how does the pudding?
I'm not stealing from Josie or anything.
I wouldn't think that.
No, it's, I couldn't do it that good anyway, so I wouldn't even try.
Says the Whitney Award winner from last year.
Whatever. No, it was, it's almost like kind of like an urban fantasy about pudding, and it's about a girl who, thinks her life is really dull and boring. And anyway, she ends up getting roped into this magic pudding thing. And once she gets in, it's not quite as easily to get out as she thought it was going to be. And it wasn't really what she bargained for. But anyway, it's impossible to explain in a few words. And it's nobody's going to buy it.
Oh, there's confidence for you. You know, I would just to figure out what you're talking about. No, pudding. I love pudding. There's motivation.
Yeah, I really had people say, oh, I would buy it just because it sounds so bizarre, because it's a book about pudding. So maybe somebody will, you know, I don't know, maybe somebody will.
I will. I bought Santa Maybe, and I really liked it.
I'm glad. I'm so glad you liked it. That's my mom's favorite, is Santa Maybe.
Aww. You mean she's not one of those that every book's your favorite because you're her daughter?
Yeah.
She's particular?
She really did come out and say this one's my favorite, and she does read them all, of course, because, you know, she has to, because she's my mother, but, I told her, because Fairy Grandmother's my favorite, but I told her, you know, Santa Maybe is, it is really fun, and I think she likes it because there's a lot of me in it, and she kind of likes me, so.
Oh, good thing.
Yeah, I know.
No, that was a fun book. That was a lot of fun. And it was kind of fun to get to read it for the Whitney Awards. It's in the romance category for this year, for 2009. And what do you think, which category did you say your next book you're currently working on would probably be in?
I think it would be, right, it's not finished, but right now I think you would classify it maybe as an urban fantasy. I'm not really even positive, because it is so bizarre and it's so unlike anything I've done. I'm really not sure where to put it. It's definitely not mainstream fiction, we'll just say that.
Well, would you be interested in coming to the podcast one day?
I would love to come to the podcast.
No, it would be a lot of fun. We'd love to have you, especially so you can explain to everyone what this pudding thing is once it comes out.
You know, and I haven't looked at it for a while, so I'm going to go back and read it again, and if it's horribly awful, I'm going to pretend I never said anything about it. And when you say, you know, tell us more about this pudding book, I'm going to say, you are up in the night. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll have proof. But that's okay. I am so appreciative for you taking a few minutes out of your day to come to talk to us while you're here and to come and support Valor in their new endeavor. And the authors that are your colleagues, show them support. Do you have anything you'd like to say to those authors that might listen to this, since you're there and there, and we're out here?
Since we're out here, where it's nice and cool, and they're roasting. I'm just so excited. I think anytime there's a new publishing company that gets up and running, it's great news for all of us. And I think from what they've done so far, it looks like it's really going to take off. I'm excited to see their stuff. I wish I could go home. I ordered Tristie's and it hasn't come yet, but she promised me that it would come in the mail signed, because I didn't get a signed one. And it's just, you know, I really, I was just telling him inside, I might lose my job for coming.
What?
No, really. I never leave early. I'm like the most reliable employee in the world, and I don't get off work till 6. And I said, I've really got to leave at 5 today. And of course, you know, that was like the kiss of death. I never should have said that at 8:00 in the morning, because everything went to crap from there. So
that's how it always goes.
It really does. And so at, you know, 5:20, I said, I promise you guys I'll fix this tomorrow, but I really got to go. So when I get there tomorrow, I hope I've still got a job, because definitely I'm not going to be paying the rent writing books.
Well, when you said you lost your job, I almost thought your publisher was going to get mad at you.
Oh, no.
But you have a real paying job. No, yes. Writing is your real job.
Writing is my real job in my head. In my fantasy world, writing is my real job. And
in your heart?
Be the most awesome real job in the world. But
well, keep at it and keep putting out books like you have been, and you'll get there.
One day, right?
One day. I'm rooting for you anyway.
That's because you're a sweetie.
It's because I like to read, and you write good books, so. And plus, we got to give you your award last year, so we're, you know, totally psyched. We're big Aubrey Mace fans, so.
I was just saying, it's so fun to talk to you when I'm not having a coronary. When I'm not in panic mode. I much prefer talking to you this way, so.
Well, we'll find you at Storymakers and grab you again. How about that?
That would be excellent.
Well, thanks, Aubrey. Appreciate it.
Thank you for chatting with me.
Have a good night. Hi, this is Shanda again, and I'm here with author Jessica Day George, who stopped into this big Valor book launch. Why didn't you say hi? Hi, it's me. If you remember, we had Jessica on the podcast about a couple years ago. You were expecting your baby.
I was.
And we had a good long discussion. It was so much fun having you on the podcast. And
what did we talk for, like, 6 hours or something like that?
It was like 1 a.m. or something.
I know. My husband kept calling, are you still alive?
No, it was so much fun. We loved having you come. Okay. And since then, we were talking about the Dragon books then, but since then,
yes,
you have published 2 more books. We talked a little bit about Princess of the Midnight Ball.
Yes.
And then now you're going to have... Princess of Glass.
Comes out in 2 months.
We've already seen the cover, and it's beautiful.
Yes, it is beautiful. I'm very happy with it.
I'm so excited for you.
Yes, so that's the sequel to Princess of the Midnight Ball. So matching cover, girl in pretty dress.
Oh, yep.
So
excited. It goes with the series.
Yes.
So tell us, you know, a little bit about Princess of Glass.
Oh, well, for those of you who have read Princess of the Midnight Ball, Princess Poppy, the snarky twin.
Yes.
If you're keeping track of all those 12 girls in that first book, she goes to Breton, which is where their mother is from, and it's basically alternate history England.
After the war.
After the war, she goes to Breton, and there all the royal families, to kind of cement some alliances, are trading their kids around. So,
really? Like
yes.
Marriages or just
yes.
To...
Yes. Well, just to see if they can get any married.
Like
it's like
apprenticeship
a big...
type thing?
It's a big speed dating thing, essentially. So Poppy's in England, meeting all the... Breton, meeting all the Bretoner gentlemen, and the Bretoner prince has gone to, I can't remember where, somewhere else. And there's also the Prince of the Danelaw, so basically a Danish prince, is there with Poppy. And she's refusing to dance because after what she and her
Everything
sisters went through, they have always refused to dance since then. So there is no dancing. So instead, when she goes to balls, she gambles with the gentleman in the card room.
Oh, how fun.
Because Poppy has learned to gamble, shoot, and swear, and knit from her brother-in-law, Galen.
Okay, so how old is she in this
She is
book,
16 now.
Okay.
So she's 16 and just kind of also not amused by the big marriage scheme because she's only 16, you know, and it's just like, really?
She has a lot of life to live.
I have to come here and try to choose some husband or something? I don't think so. So
was she one of your favorites from...
She was totally my favorite. I tried to give her all the best lines and stuff like that at the expense of some of the other sisters. And actually, a lot of her got cut from the first book because it almost seemed out of place, like... They're going through all this, you know, this curse and this danger, and they're being accused of witchcraft, and there's Poppy, like, making rude remarks in the background, and so...
Little jokes and
yeah,
sarcasm.
So she got a little bit cut out of the first book, so I gave her own book so she could be free.
So, are the arcs already out for this book?
Yes, and if I'd known you were here, Shanna, I would give you an arc.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I didn't bring any, but I could get you one.
Okay. I would love one.
Okay.
It's a deal. Anyway, okay, so what are you working on now since Princess of Glass is, you know, in the
it's
wings
in
almost
in the can.
There? Yes. What else? What's
the
next?
Film term. What is next is... currently called The Horse Brigade, Book 1. I don't know what we'll call it, though, because my agent's like, I really hate that title. I can't remember what she keeps thinking it is, like The Charge of the Light Brigade or something like that. But it's basically, it's a world where, imagine, say, World War I England.
Okay.
But if they have been taught by the government that horses are the root of all evil. There are scriptures in their church that they read about how horses are a sign of vanity, and people are not supposed to talk about horses or look at horses. The outside of the cathedrals have demons riding horses on them.
Really?
Yes. So
my daughter would be executed.
Well, I mean, most little girls would. But, I mean, imagine if you're a little girl that's been told, like, horses are evil now. So this girl... her name is Anthea, and her whole life's ambition is to be a lady-in-waiting to the queen.
Okay.
Her mother was a lady-in-waiting to the queen. Their whole world, they are such royal watchers. It all revolves around the royal family. I mean, the biggest deal ever could be to be noticed by a member of the royal family, to do them some service
of
some kind.
Is this their, her and her mom or the family in general, or the country?
The whole country.
The whole country?
Just,
okay.
They live for the royal family, and her mom was a servant of the crown, you know, and this is her whole life's ambition. Well,
kind of like the reverse of the Three Musketeers kind of thing, where you wanted to be a musketeer and guard the... Does that make sense?
Yes.
Kind of like, but with a girl.
But with a girl, exactly.
And
so,
not fighting with swords. Okay.
So, whole life has revolved around being a lady-in-waiting, which is called a rose maiden. And
oh, really?
This is
I
just
like
her whole life's ambition. And she... thinks she is an orphan, and she has always been raised by various relatives, and none of her relatives want her, of course.
She's
so,
not like a... stinker, is she?
She is not. She is very good, and all she wants to do is to be good, but nobody seems to want her. So she finally ends up having to be shipped off to her last relative that has not had her so far. And it is an uncle she has never heard of before, who lives in the far north, who raises horses for a living. It is a secret weapon of the royal family. They have funded this horse farm as their secret weapon because there is an upcoming war and they want cavalry. They have never had cavalry before, and they're getting the floor mopped with them, basically, by other countries' cavalry anytime there's ever been an invasion
Which
or anything.
Which probably hasn't helped the horses are evil thing.
No. Well, it makes sense that they would have horses. Like, why are we still hanging on to this? And so she goes up and is forced to interact with people who ride horses and to live amongst horses, and her whole world is just crumbling down around her, and then she starts finding out other little things about her family, about the royal family, about why they don't like horses, and things like that. And
ooh,
so it's
this
the
is
first.
So intriguing.
It's going to be so fabulous. It's
of
the
course,
first book in a
everything
trilogy.
Everything you write is fabulous.
Everything
and I
write
that
is
sounds
so
like,
fabulous.
It is.
This is like a pet project that seriously I have been toying around with since I was like 12 years old.
Really?
It really is. I have like a Cabbage Patch Kid diary that I started writing this like little story in about this girl and her horse and how she doesn't like the horse but she has to ride the horse anyway and stuff like that. And like I wrote it in my Cabbage Patch Kid diary that I got for my 8th birthday when I was 12. I started writing this like little
Did
story.
Did you keep it as nice as you kept your My Little Ponies?
Oh yeah, everything is so nice. Oh my gosh.
This is scary that
my
I remember
Barbies
that.
Have like My Barbies have, like, the original hairdos and stuff like
oh,
that. I kept
so
everything.
Funny.
I was one of those kids that's, like, you know, Windexing my toys. Like, I was one of those kids. So,
oh my gosh,
yes,
you cracked me
this
up.
Is the story from the Cabbage Patch Kid diary.
You have to bring that diary when you come podcast after this book comes out.
I know. I need to find that. It's in a box somewhere in the basement. I need to dig that sucker out because I know there's other stories in there, too, because I never kept a diary.
because one time I found my sister reading my diary and laughing, and then she told her friends about this boy I had a crush on. It was very upsetting. So after that, I stopped keeping a diary, and that was when I was like 10 or something. So I have like little short stories and stuff in all my diaries instead. So I had about 50 diaries that people gave me, like with teddy bears and Cabbage Kids and things on them. And, like,
probably Lisa Frank stuff. Lisa Frank? No. You know, the candies and the Lisa Frank designs, you know. Everyone collected the candy stickers and the...
Vaguely.
You know, I only know because there was a resurgence of it, you know, when all the 80s stuff came back and my daughter got some. I don't particularly... However, I did recently find a picture of me in long PJ, long nightgown, with a plastic chain with a bunch of plastic charms hanging off of it. Yes. Please tell me you have one.
Totally did.
I have no idea where that is, but I saw
pan.
A picture.
I had a little frying pan with the eggs on it.
Egg yolk thing. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yep, oh, yeah.
I totally had that.
I wish I had that. Because I saw a picture of that, and I was like, oh, I knew I had one of those.
Where is it now?
I have no idea. Oh. Probably with my old coloring books at my... We used to find our old coloring books and different toys at my grandma's house when we'd go visit that my mom had snuck out of the toy box and given for the grandkids to play. We're like, I've been looking for that!
Yeah. Your old coloring book.
Stuff like that. Yeah, we'd find like teddy bears and stuff. We're like, no, I loved that one. Why? I've been looking all over for him, Mom. Why did you give him to Grandma?
It's somewhere in the family. My husband.
Probably somewhere, yeah.
My husband has one toy. He has his Winnie the Pooh from when he was a kid.
Aww.
And he has one blanket that is totally trashed that his grandma made him that after he was done with it, everyone used as a picnic blanket. Mm-hmm. So it's totally trashed. These are the two mementos he has of his childhood. Yeah. Seriously.
My husband has a blanket.
Everything else got sold at a garage sale. Everything else.
Really?
Like all their toys.
No, he used to have all these fun Star Wars
toys.
Figures. Oh my gosh, yes.
They all went to the garage sale.
Yep. My husband has none of that left. Although the Legos. The Legos were never allowed to be sold. He has
They
have like two buckets, huge buckets full of the Lego pieces. He can't just find regular Legos now.
Yeah.
And so he has those, and we've been hanging on to them for when the kids get older. Now my son's almost 3, so we're about to pull out the Legos. Yeah. That's all. That and a blanket.
Ow.
I know, it's so sad, isn't it?
I
at least have
a couple
of... I have a Charmkins little house thing, but I never had any Charmkins. But I have
That's
the house
funny.
Still. I know.
That's funny.
I'm pathetic is what it is. I never had any Charmkins, but I had the house to keep them in.
That's so weird. I remember going to a friend's birthday party. It was like a Charmkins birthday party.
Really?
And like everyone gave her, and I had never heard of them. I'd never heard of them. And everyone was like, you're so weird. You don't know what those are. And I'm like, I like My Little Ponies. And they're like, horses, whatever. And I'm like, what? What? Charmkins?
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that.
That is so pathetic.
We had the Charmkins movie, though, inexplicably. Like,
really?
After that, someone gave us this video of like some Charmkins movie or something. It was very odd.
Care Bears. I revisited some of the old Care Bear stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh, and I had a Popple. I did
really?
Have a Popple. I don't know where it is now.
I had a Puffalump.
Really?
I had a Hug-A-Bunch. Anything, basically, that you could get that had red hair, like any of the dolls,
mm-hmm.
I had a redhead.
Which is appropriate,
Yep. My mom would only buy me redhead dolls. So I had, like, 3 strawberry shortcakes, but none of her friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she would only buy me the redhead ones. So I had, like...
You didn't have Blueberry Muffin or whatever her name was?
No. I always wanted Blueberry Muffin because blue was my favorite color at the time.
Oh, really?
And Yeah. I only could have the redhead ones. I had, like, 3 redhead Cabbage Patch Kids. I had strawberry shortcake.
The Rainbow Bright? I mean, I know her hair was more like orange.
No, she was blonde. She was blonde.
Oh, wait. She had an orange-haired friend.
Did she? I didn't have the friend. That's
kind
of odd.
I didn't have Rainbow Bright.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, if it was a doll that had hair, I could only get it if it had red hair.
Really?
Redheaded Hug-A-Bunch and the redheaded Hug-A-Bunch baby and like...
Well, that's appropriate. You know, you have such gorgeous red hair.
Well, I do.
My baby has red hair.
Does she?
Red curly hair.
No. How cute.
I'll show you pictures after.
You have to tie little ribbons around the curls, please.
Okay. And they get a little bit longer. They still kind of grow now.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. Okay, so... This, do you have a working use of the horse?
The horse brigade.
Sorry, back to the books. I mean, we just had a fun little, jaunt into 80s stuff. That
nostalgia.
Was a lot of fun. But
nostalgia.
Yeah, nostalgia.
Horse Brigade should be out sometime next year. I'm completely done with the rough draft. We're negotiating the contract now, so that's a done deal.
I can't wait to read that one. That sounds so
interesting.
It's going to be
cool. It's going to be a trilogy.
Did you get into the trilogies after the whole, Dragon Slippers?
Because Dragon Slippers randomly ended up being a trilogy.
Or did you plan on having this be a trilogy?
I planned on having this be a trilogy.
Okay.
Like, I mean, not when I was a little kid, but as I started getting into it, like...
Flushing
it's actually
a
been
more.
A couple of years I've been working on it off and on in between other things, and as I started writing it, I'm like, I want to do one book where it's like her... I compare it to Lloyd Alexander. The Beggar Queen books are like my favorite. His Westmark, the Westmark trilogy, I absolutely love them. In the first book, you're like introduced to the characters, and they're on the verge of basically a civil war. Second book is the war. Ew. And then third book is kind of like cleaning up the mess a little bit and stuff. And that's basically what I wanted to do. It's like first book's like the big training montage. And second book is like, we're at war, you know. Uh-huh. And then the third book is like, you know, settling what's been going on and stuff like that. So it's all plotted out.
I really can't wait.
It's
going
to be awesome.
You'll keep us updated, right?
I will.
And you'll put me on your list?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, what, anything after that? I mean, last time you were here, you had so many ideas.
Oh, I've got so many ideas all the time. For one thing,
if you have
Princess Trilogy, we can just say that.
Okay.
So we're going to take one of the other youngest princesses. I'm not going to do all 12 princesses.
No, I can't.
I have plans to finish off the princesses, to finish them off. If you read the second book, especially if you read Princess of Glass, there are hints that maybe just tying the gate closed with the woolen chain in Princess the Midnight Ball did not do the job.
Ooh.
So, little big hint there. So that's coming up sometime, and the tentative title for that, which my agent actually likes for once, one of my titles. I have a terrible titling skills. Oh, I'm awful. But Princess of the Silver Wood.
Ooh, I like that.
Would be that one.
And, especially because, that, I mean, it's just so appropriate with what you were just...
Yes.
Those of you who have read Princess of the...
Yes, you'll know why. Yeah. Well, and Princess of Glass, you know, Poppy has a maid named Eleonora, and Eleonora wants to go to the ball, and she does not have a gown. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Princess of Glass, hint, about what that one is based on. And Princess of the Silverwood, Petunia, the youngest princess, it's her story, and she is given a red cloak with a hood as a 16th birthday present at the beginning of the book. Princess of the Silverwood.
I see what you mean.
Very loosely, very loose, very little hint, very loosely based on that story. But I'm also negotiating the contract for a fun little thing that would be like a very young middle grade book and probably a series. And the first book is called Tuesdays at the Castle. And it's about a girl. She's the youngest daughter of a king. She's a princess. She's about 12 years old. And they live in Castle Glower. And Castle Glower is basically alive. And Tuesdays...
Enchanted, kind of?
It's alive. It grew out of the ground one day, this castle.
Okay.
And so, like, if Castle Glower does not like you, it might shoot you out of the chimney and you'll land in, like, the manure pile in the courtyard, you know? And Tuesdays at the castle, when the king is hearing petitions, the castle often gets bored. And when it gets bored, it will, like, stretch and grow new rooms or make all the hallways, like, a mile long. So as you're trying to walk to the throne room, it's going on and on and on, you know? But there's some tricks. Like, if you turn left and then jump out the first window you see, you will always land right outside the kitchen.
Oh, I see.
And if you keep turning right, eventually you will make it to the throne room somehow.
But you just have to keep going.
You just have to turn right, and you'll make it to the throne room. If it likes you, it will make hallways shorter as you're walking down the hall. Or like Celie, the princess, you know, she's very young, and the castle absolutely loves Celie. So one day, everywhere she walks, all the floors will be rubber, basically like trampolines, and she can bounce wherever she goes. You know,
that sounds like so much fun.
Or you know, like it will fill a room with pillows and then drop you down through the ceiling. You'll walk through the door, but come out through the ceiling. You'll like land in all these pillows, and you know. So
that sounds like the perfect book
for
that age.
Yeah. It's so much fun to write. And so, yes, so, you know, things happen, some mayhem and bad people come to the castle. And so it's a bit like Home Alone if the house were fighting with Macaulay Culkin, you know. So, like, the parents are away and some bad people come to the castle, and the castle is, like, helping Celie and her brother and sister fight back.
Oh.
You know, it's providing them with, like, weapons, but, you know, kind of fun weapons that they can handle and stuff like that.
So about how
like,
many pages are you shooting for with this book?
I don't know. Yeah. I never know until I'm done, but not too horrendously long.
So it's going to be like
long.
A chapter book?
It's going to be, like, not an early chapter book, but a pretty low middle grade type of book. And then, you know, I want to do more, like, maybe there's one where... they find an egg, you know, and the castle's helping him hide it and hatch it. They find this, like, huge egg, she and her brother. And then you know, it's a griffin or something like that. They're, so they're, like, maybe trying to raise and hide a baby griffin from the parents with the castle's help, you know, in one book or, you know, things like that. Her oldest brother
a classic, you know, award-winning book here.
I would love that. I wanted to go for, like, an E. Nesbitt. I loved Five Children in It, or, like, The Book of Dragons, like, that kind of old-fashioned, you know, the Phoenix and the Carpet type of
thing. The kind
thing.
That people keep and read to their kids who keep and read to their kids.
Yes, I think
who keep and read
this
to
would
kids.
Be way fun to read aloud, and I wanted to do something like that. The oldest brother has just graduated from Wizards College, so, you know, he's kind of in and out. The cool college-age brother who, like, can also do magic, you know. So it's almost, like, a little bit modern in that, but it's a medieval world. But, you know, trampoline floors and
that would be
cool.
So
cool older brother and his cool friends. The sister's boyfriend, who's like the blacksmith's apprentice. Like the older sister is like kind of the hot guy in it. Like she has like
literally.
A little girl. He's the hot guy because he works at the blacksmith. Nice. But, you know, she's got kind of a little girl crush on, and he's really nice to her and stuff, and he's really sweet.
Aww.
So there's kind of, like, the older boy that's, like, kind of in on the fun a little bit, you know, but, like, is, like, the hot boy from the village.
Yeah, I don't know.
The hot blacksmith's apprentice.
No, that is...
And his name is Pogue.
Like...
I just liked that. Pogue.
Pogue?
Pogue.
Okay.
Like Rogue, but with a P. His name is Pogue Perry. Pogue Perry keeps showing up.
I don't know how you come up with this stuff, but you are, like, you have this brilliant mind for these
weird
stories.
Things the way happen in my brain all the time.
It's kind of a problem. If you want to get a little peek into Jessica's brain, you can follow her tweets on Twitter.
I tweet. Jess Day George is my tweet handle. I don't know.
And then she does have a blog that she occasionally blogs at.
Oh, I need to update that. Yes, Shardis and Velika visited the House of the Future a couple weeks ago, and I need to post pictures. Some friends of mine moved into a house that was built in 1961.
Oh, really?
They bought it from the original owners, who were very wealthy. They were a wealthy couple that retired and built their dream house in 1961. It has, like, funky features that were, like,
really?
Gourmet at the time. Like, the oven, like, pulls out of the wall for convenience.
What?
You slide the oven, like, the stovetop slides out like a drawer.
Okay.
It looks like, so you have all this counter space because the stovetop is under the counter, and you, like, slide it out and, like, lock it into place when you use it. There's, like, a built-in scale in the bathroom that, like, folds down from the wall. It looks like a laundry chute, but it's actually a bathroom scale.
Really?
And, like, the whole bathroom turns
so
into a shower.
So you have pictures of this?
I took my stuffed... I have stuffed dragons that are Shardis and Velika. Mm-hmm. I have a gold one and a blue one. Mm-hmm. And I took them with me and posed them around their house.
Oh, my God, you have to pose them.
If you've ever seen... It's Shardis and Velika visit the House of the Future.
Are the colors... Is the color scheme still...
Oh, one of the bathrooms was purple. It was custom done. The toilet is purple. The sink is purple. The bathtub is purple.
Nuh-uh.
Yes. Oh, yes. The master bath is all blue.
Like purple,
and it's that tiny little, like, pool tile. And it's...
No
the
way.
Whole floor and walls are all tiled because the middle of the floor just sinks down into a tub. You just step down into a tub and there is...
So like a Roman bath kind of a thing?
Yes. And there is no shower curtain or any way to hang one. If you just turn on the shower, you're just standing there in a sunken area in the middle of the whole bathroom showering. And there's, like, the planter boxes everywhere, like, filled with bark that used to have, like, birch trees and stuff
no
in
way.
It. If you've ever seen houses from the 60s. And they have, like, all of a sudden in the entryway, there'll be, like, a flower bed in the entryway. Oh, yeah. They have, like, two in their entryway.
Like, and inside the house?
In the house. Haven't you ever seen that?
Yes, but I didn't.
Or the thing where they had, like, the, you know, where they had the split levels where you'd walk in,
yeah.
There'd be the stairs, and then at the bottom of the stairs, there'd be, like, a birch tree growing up out of the floor.
No,
they
I have not actually seen that.
My parents almost bought a house that looked like that one. They were like, no way. We're going to saw that tree down if we move in. But they have planter boxes, like, with dirt and bark in them in just about every room in that house except the kids' bedrooms. It is crazy.
I cannot wait to see these pictures. You have to post them up.
So awesome.
How many are you going to post? All of them?
Most
of them?
The key rooms, I took a picture of, like, the bathroom, the kitchen, which is just crazy, and, like, the entryway. The house is also enormous. And it's, like,
how many
one
bedrooms?
Long room. It's three or four bedrooms. It's, like, one level with a basement. There's, like, three or four bedrooms upstairs. And but, like, the living room goes into a there's a formal sitting room and then a family room and then the kitchen, and it's basically one long open area except there are steps up and steps down, you know, that type of thing, like,
I
different
know.
Levels.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You can, like, walk into their house and then look across and see to the far end of the house, and you could play football in there.
Really?
It is huge.
Oh my goodness.
I That was so crazy.
Somebody who has one of these houses, like, hey.
Yeah, I know. Well, and that's the kind of thing, too, it's like, I know. Well, it's the kind of thing, like, where they have the problem of, okay, so do we get all our furniture to match, or do we start trying to,
like, make spots, like, areas?
Do we gut this and, like, replace it with modern things? You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Like, should we get rid of what they call
the easy bake oven
and get a real oven or what, you know?
Tell me, was it olive green or orange?
No, it was bright blue. This is the oven awesome. Is blue? The people actually had pretty cool taste. You know, I was expecting everything to be like harvest gold or, you know, like olive green. No, it was like nice, well, kind of almost, not pastels, but a little bit darker. But like the kitchen was all blue and the master bath was almost like turquoisey. Mm-hmm. And the master bath was all blue and the one bathroom was all purple. And the rest of the house was kind of like a neutral brown. It was not that bad. Mm-hmm. You can work with this, you know. Yeah. But it was just...
They had pretty good features here and there.
They had like the giant clock that's like built into the wall that has the sun rays, you know, that's like
really?
The brass.
Really? It's built in?
Or something. They can't get it off. You know what I mean?
Take it off and there's the imprint behind it on the
wall. Yeah, there's like the control panels in the wall. Like there's a radio in the wall and you can like play the radio in different rooms. I mean, it was really ahead of its time. But, you know, some of it doesn't work now. The wiring's kind of gone bad. And there's like the master light switch panel in the master bedroom so you can turn your kids' bedroom lights off.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know those existed.
I had a friend who had one. When we were in high school, when we were having sleepovers, her mom would turn the lights off on us.
Did they
like
have a central vacuum system too?
No. But you know, it could have. They had them there. But yeah, this has got the panel in the master bedroom and it has lights above each switch so you can see whose light is on.
See, that would be handy.
It's like you've got the master kill switch.
Your kids
are up late.
The ultimate control panel.
It is the ultimate control panel. Mm. It is. You can totally turn all the lights off and it is the kill switch. You can't turn it back on in the rooms.
I'm going to tell my 12-year-old about that. I'll threaten to get one.
Oh, man. My friends and I hated that.
They know
my
I probably had
that.
It.
My friend had that. They were in like a way old house and 10 p.m. at sleepovers, flick out would go the lights and we'd pull our flashlights out of our pillowcases.
Well, see, I know my kids would just, you know, pull out flashlights. I mean, I know that it would never work, but, you know, it's something I could threaten maybe in a... affect her a little bit for a little while before she stopped believing
before me. Before she realized.
I would never really do it, but, you know. It's worth a
try.
Try
it.
It's worth a try.
Try it. Yeah. I'm going to get it. Sam, you can get a master control panel and turn off the
light. Yeah.
You could actually do it, you know, from, like, the fuse box.
Oh, yeah. You I don't know what it took to.
You could actually
I have
do
to
this.
Learn. I'll go learn.
You'd have to figure it out.
Yeah.
Mine's all labeled. My husband labeled them so we can
like
figure it out.
Like Freaky Friday when she shuts the man down on the fuse box.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do something like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. You could do that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, so check out Jessica's blog. Give us your address.
www.jessicadegeorge.com.
And that's where they can find your blog.
Yeah.
And everything. And it's a cute blog. Info. I like it.
I try to have
simple
fun.
And cute. And nice. I like the yellow.
Yes.
Is it still yellow?
It is still yellow.
Okay. That's what I thought, but you know, you never know.
Yeah.
So, okay, and... Do you have an actual website where they can learn more about your books?
That is the website.
And that is the website.
That is the
blog
website.
Is.
The blog is on there.
Okay,
I don't know what
okay.
my blog is.
Okay, so
I'm
you can
sure
find her blog
something
there.
Blog okay. spot. Yeah, it says, like, you have options, like, look into my books, read my bio, read my blog. Like,
okay.
right there from the main page, it's all right there. You can follow me on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, all these things from my website.
Okay, great.
So...
It's been so much fun talking to you. I'm
Thanks.
So glad you
I was
came.
Glad to see you guys.
I was glad to see you. We're like, hey, Jessica's here.
Yay!
And I knew I had to grab you. And I got you all to myself.
You did.
So Sheila and Hillary got to go and see the flute performance and everything. And I stood ground and protected.
Oh, I got to see the flute. It was awesome.
Yeah, it sounded beautiful.
It was really good.
But I had to guard my equipment. My whole life is on that laptop.
I'm sure.
Almost.
If I ever
completely.
Lost my laptop, I'd have to kill someone.
Yeah, I have like 25,000 photos on there. So.
Oh my gosh.
Well, they're backed up, most of them. But still, you know.
Most of them.
Hey, here comes Hillary.
Just not
we're
the
wrapping.
Baby's
we're
life.
Wrapping.
Yeah.
We're done. Oh, picture. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Jessica, for taking the time
you
out to
are
visit
welcome.
Me. Go check out her stuff.
Hi, Hillary.
And apparently we need to wrap it up. So
yes.
Go check out all of her stuff and... Thanks again, Jessica. We'll be watching for your books. I'm going to be watching my mailbox.
I know. Okay. I will send you one.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye.